are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And yes, it is a victory Thursday. I'm glad we started this on Wednesday. I kind of feel like we should have been doing victory day of the weeks all along if the Wolves are 2-0 now since we started doing it. So I think this is a thing moving forward. Hopefully there's a lot more of these. Today we'll be talking about the Timberwolves win over the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night. We'll, of course, name studs and duds as we always do from the game. It was another really fun game, so there's plenty to talk about with this one. We're also going to finish off the show today by having a little bit of fun with numbers so far to this point in the season, mostly related to the newcomers to the team and what they've been doing over their still relatively small sample size with the Timberwolves. Look at how the Wolves have done overall since the trade deadline in a few different categories. But first, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Yes, the Timberwolves have won consecutive games since January 2nd and 5th when they beat Cleveland and Golden State, and maybe not in that order, it could have been flipped, but those were the two teams back on January 2nd and January 5th, so essentially 2 months exactly, and this is the first time all season long that the Wolves have won both games of a back-to-back set, the front and back end of a back-to-back. And this was a road home back-to-back, no less, traveling in between, playing a team that was not on a back-to-back either night. Both New Orleans had had a night off prior to the game, and Chicago had had a night off prior to this game. And yes, Chicago is shorthanded. They don't have Zach LaVine. They don't have Chris Dunn. They don't have Chandler Hutchison. This was the second game back after a 4-month layoff for Otto Porter Jr., the first game back for Lauri Markkanen, who hadn't played since the last time these two teams played a few weeks ago, and only like the 6th or 7th game back for Wendell Carter Jr. Those guys were all in minutes restrictions. The Bulls were without LaVine, Dunn, Hutchison. But this same Chicago team, minus Markkanen, just beat Dallas on Monday night by 2 at home. That's a Dallas team that beat the Wolves easily at Target Center on Sunday. And so, I mean, this Bulls team can still compete a little bit. Again, shorthanded batters, the Wolves were at home, but they were also on a back-to-back. So there's plenty of, you know, caveats in both direction. No matter how you slice it, good to get another win, good for the Wolves to win a second consecutive game for the first time in 2 months. So in terms of the game itself, there really wasn't any offense for either team early. The Wolves went like the first 3-plus minutes without scoring at all. It was a really rough start to the game. And really for both teams, it just kind of ugly. It was clear that these were two teams that are going to finish in the mid to upper 20s in terms of their wins. But then the Wolves really started to click in the second quarter. The offense, and again, it was the bench unit that kind of got things rolling for the Wolves in the second quarter, at least. And then after being down by 7 after the first quarter, the Wolves were just down by 3 at halftime. And then the third quarter was all Timberwolves, and that was basically it. Minnesota got super hot from 3. Basically, I think they hit their first 6 three-point attempts in the third quarter and were clicking from everywhere. Malik Beasley was making threes. D'Angelo Russell was making threes. Jarrett Culver made a couple of big threes in the second half. He had a really good game. And the Wolves really overwhelmed the Bulls. They built a double-digit lead. Late in the game, the lead actually got up to 14. They went up by 14 to 3 minutes to play. And then a 9-0 run by the Bulls in under a minute made it a 5-point game. It was definitely shades of the collapse of the Sacramento Kings from a couple weeks ago, actually like 3 weeks ago prior to the trade deadline. Although having D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley on the court was a little bit more calming down the stretch than Shabazz Napier and Andrew Wiggins and some of the guys that were struggling under that pressure a few weeks ago. Both Russell and Beasley hit a pair of free throws after that 9-0 run. That 9-0 run made it a 5-point game with under a minute to play. But the Wolves hit their free throws from that point, stopped turning the ball over, and then it wasn't, that was it. So good overall game from the Wolves. In terms of the things that were key throughout the game, Well, first of all, second straight huge offensive games. The numbers are maybe not quite as eye-popping as they were on the night prior on Tuesday in New Orleans. After shooting like 54 or 56% or whatever it was from the floor, the Wolves shot 50% from the floor in this one, which will obviously play. They didn't shoot 85% from the free throw line. They were 64%, but they attempted 25 free throws, only attempted 20 in New Orleans the night before. And then on threes, the Wolves were still really good, 19 of 43, which is 44.2%. So that's all those numbers. I mean, I guess the overall field goal and 3-point the Wolves will take every night of the week. The free throw shooting needs a little bit of work still. Nas missed three free throws. Juancho Hernan Gomez missed a couple. And that was, you know, 16 and 25 isn't ideal. But overall, Wolves shooting percentages were really good for the most part across the board. And in terms of individual performances, we'll get into studs and duds here next segment, as we always do. But, I mean, Malik Beasley was awesome. Best player on the floor for the Wolves all the way around. Nas Reed had certainly his best two consecutive games he's had all season after a great game against the Pelicans. He was really good in this one. James Johnson, the numbers were less eye-popping off the bench. We didn't even really talk about him after the Pelicans game. He had 19 points off the bench, but this was probably a better all-around game from him, all things considered. Jarrett Culver was probably a top three player for the Wolves in this game. Jordan McLaughlin was solid. He had some turnover issues, but generally was really good. So we'll get into studs and duds. Remember, we'll only pick three studs and a max of two duds, but just so many solid individual performances. D'Angelo Russell had a weird game. He had six turnovers, but a couple of them were really, really careless turnovers. And beyond that, he was pretty good. So kind of a weird last week or so for D'Lo, but still really good and had a great plus minus in this one. So the weirdness continues there for D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves also won the rebounding battle, which we talked about this in the preview. The Bulls aren't a very good rebounding team. And they're, again, being shorthanded a little bit, although they're mostly missing backcourt players at this point. You know, the Wolves did a good job, for instance, on Wendell Carter Jr. Both Nas Reed and Juancho Hernan Gomez did a good job in the paint. Reed had 11 rebounds in just 25 minutes. Juancho had 7 in 31 minutes. Wendell Carter only had 9 individual rebounds. Nobody else on the Bulls had more than 6. And that was Thad Young off the bench. So the Wolves won the rebounding battle 43-39 and did a good job, for the most part, controlling the paint in this game, which was obviously really important, and it always is. But this is a team they should have beaten in the paint, and they did. And in terms of individual players on the Bulls that could do damage, I mean, Kobe White's been really good off the bench lately. He averaged, I think, over 20 points a game in the month of February and has been just a pleasant surprise as a rookie for the Bulls. The Wolves forced him into really tough shots. He was the team's high scorer with 26. Nobody else in the Bulls scored more than 17. White comes off the bench. He's still played 35 minutes in this one. Shot 11 of 22, which is fine to get his 26 points. But a lot of those were kind of tough, long mid-range jumpers. There were floaters that were contested. And the Wolves just kind of made life a little bit difficult for him. He still had what would be considered a good game, shooting 50% from the field, 6 assists, no turnovers. But Minnesota made him work for it. And then when he did miss, they for the most part controlled the glass. There were a couple of bad lapses. There was a play in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, when or maybe it was late in the third, Jake Lehman had a good contest on, I think it was Kobe White. He got switched onto White. And for some reason, didn't turn around and grab the rebound and kind of faded out of the play. And the Bulls got the rebound, and then White hit a corner three right off of that. So there were a couple of lapses like that, but I mean, that's going to happen over the course of a game. And for the most part, Minnesota did a really good job of controlling the glass, controlling the paint, and keeping the Bulls to one shot at the rim in a possession. So solid all-around game from the Timberwolves. Lots of good individual performances to talk about here next segment. But again, second straight win for Minnesota for the first time since the first week of January. First time and only time this season they've won both sides of a back-to-back set. So congrats to the Wolves on a really solid game. And it just makes this weekend more exciting. They have two more home games against below 500 teams. More opportunities for the Wolves to pick up some wins. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds from the game. This is now the second straight game that I've had a tough time narrowing the studs for the Wolves down to just three, which is a good problem to have. It was just a couple games ago against Dallas that I didn't want to name any studs. I think we ended up with one easy stud, and then there was a list of guys we could have put under the duds category. Of course, it becomes, that's just how it works. When the team's winning, it's easier. When they're losing, it's harder. But this was truly, I mean, there really wasn't anybody that had a bad game individually. If we're just going to pick the top three performances by Wolves players individually in this game, you have to start with Malik Beasley. He was awesome again for the second or third straight game, really. I guess I would say second straight game, but he led the team with 24 points, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, continues to not really rebound the ball much, but again, he's a little undersized, and he's also defensively, he leaks out a lot when the ball gets up on the rim, and you know, I mean, that's something that hopefully will come a little bit later. The 2 assists is also a little bit low, but he's remains a really good catch and shoot player. And while he was 4 of 8 from 3, which is awesome, he also, that means he was 4 of 6 from inside the arc. He was actually getting to the rim again pretty frequently, not just in transition, but in the half court. His first basket of the game was also the Wolves' first basket of the game. They weren't scoring for the first 3 minutes against the Bulls, who aren't, you know, they're an okay defensive team, but it was shades of the Mavericks game on Sunday when the Wolves got off to such a slow start. And Beasley took the ball directly to the rim and scored a basket, and that's what kind of started things for the Timberwolves. So really impressive game from Malik Beasley after a couple of you know, less successful games where it was a little bit more, he was quieter, he was scoring 14 to 16 points type of a thing. This is now 2 straight games over 20 points, 2 straight games of shooting well over 50% from the field, and it's exactly what the Wolves need to see. And if this is what Beasley's going to do, if it's more this than the 14 points or whatever he scored against Dallas and in the game prior to that, as a third option next to D'Angelo Russell and eventually Karl-Anthony Towns, that's really dangerous. If Beasley can shoot 42, 43, 44% from three, which at this point he looks pretty capable, and be able to put the ball on the floor, pitch in a few rebounds and assists here and there, and mostly play a clean game, then that's a dangerous top three players and probably a playoff team. You know, if this team adds a couple of pieces here and there and improves defensively, Beasley could certainly be, as he's playing currently, the third option on a playoff team. And it'll be really interesting to see. I know we keep coming back to this since the trade, but what he does or what he gets in restricted free agency this summer, Beasley's really making a case for a nice contract. And this was just another one of those games. All right, Naz Reid gets a shout out as our second stud of this game. 16 points, 11 rebounds. And this is off the heels of, I think he had 12 and 13 with a couple of blocks and assists in New Orleans on Tuesday. He only played 25 minutes in this game, but had 16 and 11, had 3 assists and 2 blocks, 0 turnovers, only committed 2 fouls in 25 minutes. 5 of 10 shooting, made all 3 of his 3-point attempts. The only issue for him in this game was he was 3 for 6 at the free throw line, but he got to the free throw line, which he hasn't been doing a ton of. He rebounded the ball 11 in 25 minutes. He didn't commit fouls. Just a really solid game from Naz Reid, and really showing that he believes he can be a rotation player at the NBA level. And this is the type of performance that gets him that swing big man role where perhaps he could be Towns' backup moving forward and getting 12, 14 minutes a game behind Towns, but also playing 5 to 8 minutes a game with Towns. The Wolves didn't do enough of that with Gorgui Dieng. And Naz is a more natural three-point shooter, and there's some things that he does do better than Gorgui, touch around the rim, et cetera. But obviously he's not on Gorgui's level defensively. He's not quite the rim protector that Gorgui was at times, although it was a little spotty. He's not quite the pick-and-roll player that Naz was. But the passing touch is huge from Naz Reid. He displayed that in this game. That's something that he has on Gorgui Dieng. So there's a handful of things that are better than what the Wolves have had in a backup big behind Towns. But I really think his skill set next to Towns offensively could work really well. And when Towns comes back, we'll see how the Wolves handle this. But I think we'll be talking a lot about that on this podcast as a potential fit for Naz to play some minutes at the 4 next to Towns. And if he plays like he did in this game, that's a no-brainer. You have to give him the opportunity to do that. All right, the third stud in this game for the Wolves is Jarrett Culver. It's been a while since he's been in that category. Coming off the bench, 13 points, 5 rebounds in 21 minutes, shot 5 of 11, made 3 of his 6 3-point attempts, and was a +3 in 21 minutes off the bench. and played so well that Josh Okogie only played 26 minutes in this game. And, you know, both Culver and Okogie have lost a few minutes here and there to the increase in minutes of Jordan McLaughlin and D'Angelo Russell together. But really solid game. I mean, he got to the rim a couple of times and scored. He had a couple of those plays where he's been doing this a lot on offense where he'll probe a little bit. He'll pull the ball back out to 3-point line and then attack. And typically his first step is quick enough, and also his length when he gets close to the rim, he's able to finish up and around over and around defenders, and also hitting 3 of 6 three-pointers. And these were mostly, I believe they were all catch-and-shoot three-pointers instead of off the dribble. Culver's been doing earlier in the season was shooting the ball off the dribble a lot from beyond the arc, kind of pulling up and shooting, or kind of almost lulling the defender to sleep and shooting threes. And his shot just isn't conducive to that. And those are always lower percentage shots than catch-and-shoot threes anyways. But Culver's increasing confidence over the course of the season, his actual production is finally matching up to that. This is now his third straight really positive game that he's had. And, you know, his feel for the game really, really appears to have been improved here of late as well. Not studs technically, but I do want to shout out James Johnson had a really good game. He had just a packed stat line, although not a ton of scoring. 8 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 steals in 22 minutes. He probably could have had another 3 or 4 assists, but Juancho missed a couple shots in the paint. They missed a couple open three-pointers. For the most part, just a really good game from James Johnson. And then also wanted to mention Jordan McLaughlin. He did have some turnover issues in this game, but was overall really good. He had 3 turnovers in 27 minutes, which isn't awful, but he was a team worst minus 11. He had 10.7 assists in 27 minutes, shot 5 of 10, missed his only 3-point attempts and both free throws. So not quite as solid of an all-around game, but he was a positive contributor. And again, this is a serviceable game from your backup point guard. So good to see him continue to play well overall too. In terms of duds, really hard to name any in this game. I guess I feel bad about this, but I guess Jake Layman is a dud. He played 14 minutes and only scored 2 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. 1 of 2 shooting, 0 of 1 on 3-pointers. Just didn't do much in this game. He did demonstrate his cutting ability again. His basket was a beautiful play. He slipped a screen on the left side of the floor that he was going to set for Russell, and Russell made a perfect pass, almost kind of a no-look bullet pass that Layman caught and two-hand slammed, jumped from about halfway down the paint, 5-6 feet away from the rim, and had a really nice dunk, which is exactly what Jake Layman can do. I feel like the Wolves have gotten at least a basket a game from either Layman or Juancho Hernan Gomez recently where they've faked a screen and slipped it and gotten an easy dunk. And I mean, if teams aren't going to be able to figure that out, I think that's going to be there every game. You're going to be able to do that once or twice a game. And Layman is such a good cutter. That's exactly what he's going to be able to do when the rest of this team is spacing the floor. And he's also a decent three-point shooter. He hasn't really found a shot since, you know, this season at all. But, he's got a track record of being a pretty good three-point shooter too. So here's hoping that he continues to improve as he's back on the floor. All right, that's it for Wolves-Bulls. A 7-point win, nice victory. The Wolves have the Magic coming up on Friday, and then the Pelicans visit for their second consecutive home matinee on a Sunday, this coming Sunday. So last segment, I do want to talk a little bit about just some fun with numbers recently, especially since the trade, what some individuals have been doing individually over the past couple of weeks. So stick around for the last segment. Okay, we're going to call this segment Fun with Numbers because there's so many small sample size warnings here that we'll note that with each of these numbers, I guess. But I wanted to talk through some three-point shooting, some advanced stats over the past dozen games or so for the new Timberwolves, and then also just talk about the shift in the Wolves' offensive strategy and how stark that's been, especially lately. First, three-point shooting. I mean, you look at the Wolves' best three-point shooters on the season, the top two just joined the team. Juancho Hernan Gomez and Malik Beasley are both shooting better from three-point range than Karl Anthony Towns has on the season since they've joined the Wolves. They both played in 11 games. They've started all 11, and they're shooting career bests if you only count the games this year with the Wolves. For instance, Juancho is only shooting 25% from three this season with the Nuggets. Prior to this year, though, for his career, he was... So if we take this season out, Juancho shot 36.6% on threes for his career. So he's a good three-point shooter. He's above average, but he was 25% in 34 games with the Nuggets. He's at 45.3% with the Timberwolves. I haven't yet dove into the number of catch-and-shoot threes, but I'd imagine that that's still the majority of threes that he's attempted. Even when he was with Denver, it's not like he creates a lot within the offense. But, you know, caution. Yes, he's shooting 45% from three, but that's far beyond his career mark of 36% headed into the season. He did shoot over 40% back in his rookie year, but he was only attempting a little under two shots from beyond the arc per game. So really good so far from Juancho, but a little outside what he's done for his career. Same for Malik Beasley. Although Beasley did shoot 40% last year for the Nuggets, and that was a season that he played 23 minutes a game. He was shooting five threes a game, 40.2% from beyond the arc. And then in shooting four per game for the Nuggets this year, he was still a pretty key part of that rotation of the bench unit, was playing a little more consistently than Juancho. He was shooting 36% before coming to the Wolves, 43.9% as a Timberwolf from beyond the arc, and he's shooting about nine threes per game in a Wolves uniform. So he's a guy, prior to this year, if you include all three of his seasons, he was at 38.8%. This season, including both Wolves and Nuggets, 39%. And he is so slightly above career average, and 43.9% in a Wolves uniform. So both those guys are shooting above where they're likely to settle. So as much as it's fun to talk about the Wolves' improved three-point shooting and taking bad shooters out and putting good shooters in, they're going to come back to earth at least a little bit from beyond the arc. But also remember that the Wolves' previous best three-point shooter, Karl-Anthony Towns, and also best if you look at career marks for everybody, including Beasley and Hernan Gomez, he's out right now. So even if Beasley and Hernan Gomez come back to earth a little bit, Towns is going to get added to the mix and shoot really well from beyond the arc too. And you're going to have essentially three guys that are going to hover around 40%. And then D'Angelo Russell, he's cooled off a little the last couple games, but he's at 37.9% from beyond the arc, which is right in line with what you'd expect from him. Prior to this year for his career, Russell was 35.3%, but last year he was essentially 37% from beyond the arc. This season with Golden State, 37.4%, with the Wolves, 37.9%. So he's right in line with his career averages. In fact, his per game averages with attempts and makes is exactly what he was doing at Golden State over the first 33 games that he played in the season. So not crazy to think that Russell keeps playing as he is now. And if you look at some of the other numbers, they've come back to earth the last few games, and he's right in line with what he's done for the last couple seasons in Brooklyn and Golden State so far in nine games with the Wolves. So he's playing exactly as to be expected. There isn't probably much course correction there to be had from D'Angelo Russell. Just kind of a random stat that I thought was interesting. One of the advanced stats that's really kind of easily grabbed, and you can look at and see, like, okay, here's the baseline, here's how guys are doing. And again, every advanced stat is it needs to be taken in its own context and understood that nothing is a catch-all and one stat doesn't tell the whole story. However, win shares per 48 minutes at basketballreference.com is a really fun, easy stat to digest and look at and look at somebody's overall performance. It tends to overweight, put too much weight on rebounding, and it doesn't always encompass enough on the defensive end of the floor, as is true of many stats. But again, an easy stat to look at. Basically, if a player is 0.100, so 0.1, or easier way to say it would be 100 or higher, then they're a starter level player. And once you get over 200, you're an all-star, and much beyond that, you're basically MVP caliber. So the Wolves' only player over 200 is Karl-Anthony Towns. But if you look at all the newcomers, the everybody's above a 0.097, which is basically starter level for an NBA team. And that's D'Angelo Russell's at a 0.097. James Johnson's at a 0.099. Malik Beasley's at a 0.104. And Juancho Hernan Gomez is actually leading the new players with a 0.109. They're all essentially league average or better players. And look at the guys at the Wolves that are no longer with the Wolves that were traded. I mean, Trevion Graham was a 0.004, which shouldn't be in the rotation. Andrew Wiggins was a 0.048. Shabazz Napier, 0.072. Bates Diop and Robert Covington were both in the 0.07s and are probably a little better than that. But for the most part, outside of Gorgui Dieng, the Wolves shipped off guys that were really struggling this year and brought in guys who have had good seasons and are playing great with the Wolves so far. And part of that, there's a little bit of chicken or the egg there, but also the Wolves wouldn't be playing better without better individual players overall. And then also related to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about three-point attempt rate and just how often guys are attempting threes. Look at this team. The guys that the Wolves got rid of were guys that didn't really like to shoot threes. And now everybody on this team is more than comfortable shooting threes more than 45% of the time they're on the floor. The bottom players on the Wolves in attempting threes this year, here's the bottom five in three-point attempt rate, which is the percentage of field goal attempts from three-point, the percentage of each of their individual field goal attempts from three-point range. The bottom five are Andrew Wiggins, James Johnson, Jeff Teague, Noah Vonleh, and Jordan Bell. So Vonleh and Bell didn't play consistently, but those guys didn't like to shoot threes and weren't very good at it. And then you have Teague, who is a good three-point shooter, but ultra reluctant. He was at a 0.269 for his three-point attempts. And we talk about him as a reluctant shooter, and that is the that's what that is right there. And then Andrew Wiggins, who had increased that number over the past couple of years, but still wasn't shooting enough threes. James Johnson, if he's somewhere around a third of his shots from beyond the arc, that's fine. He's a pretty average three-point shooter. He can make them. And I think sometimes he shoots too many in pull-up situations and transition and things like that. But as a spot-up shooter, that's fine. And if he shoots one out of every three of his shots from beyond the arc, I think that's okay. But the Wolves got rid of a reluctant shooter in Teague, a semi-reluctant three-point shooter, and a below average three-point shooter in Wiggins, and added guys who want to shoot threes. Malik Beasley's shooting well over half his shots from beyond the arc. D'Angelo Russell, same thing. Juancho's right there at about half of his shots from beyond the arc. And that's exactly what the Wolves needed to do to play the way that they want to play. So really, really good to see that. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. We'll be back on Friday to preview Friday night's game between the Wolves and the Magic and talk about any other Wolves news that comes up before then. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.